Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, I know as you came in, you got candles, and so you're probably wondering, okay, when will this lighting take place? And at the very end of the service this evening, the last song that we'll sing, we'll be singing by candlelight. And we're so excited to be doing that together this evening. After the message, in just a moment, we'll be receiving our last offering of 2021. And all month long, we've been giving two different ways, one to our regular ministries and also to our holiday missions offering. And so far this year, we've raised, I think, over $6,000 for our holiday missions offering. And we are so thankful for your generosity, because what that allows us to do is we give 100% of it away with the agencies and ministries and missions that we partner with throughout the year. And so that means that in the month of December, they get an extra love gift from us just to let them know how much we love them and appreciate them doing mission and ministry on our behalf. And so we'll be doing that at the conclusion of the message as well. But I want to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. So this month, as we've been moving through our December night's messages, we've been looking at the announcements of angels to three different groups of people. And the Christmas story really does center on three different groups of people. And angel Gabriel appeared to two different couples, and then a group of angels appeared to another group of people. And so we've looked at the announcement, the instructions, and we looked at the responses. So the first group of people we looked to was an elderly couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we asked ourselves, how can we model some of their response to the angelic announcement? You might remember the angel Gabriel showed up while Zechariah is ministering in his priestly duties and informed them that they would have a son, and they would name him John. And so he was going to be the cousin of Jesus that would prepare the way for the Messiah. His entire preaching ministry was intended to bring the people of Israel to repentance and to a right relationship with God, to let them know that the Messiah was near. And then the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary and Joseph and announced that they would have a son, that they would name him Jesus. And we looked at their responses to this angelic announcement and the mighty reality that God has come in human form so that we might have a love relationship with him through faith in Jesus. And then last week, we looked at the angelic announcement to the shepherds and their initial fear, and then how quick they were to hurry to Bethlehem to see if these things were so. And so tonight, we're going to just kind of refresh our minds in the Christmas story just for a few moments together. But if you'll follow with me in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It says, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And so her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God is with us.'" And so as we remind ourselves of just the simplicity and the innocence and the mystery of this Christmas story, we also remind ourselves of what we've been saying all month long, is that in the book of 1 John 3:5 and 1 John 3:8, it tells us the purpose of Christmas was that Jesus came to take away our sins. And then it says the purpose of Christmas was that Jesus was revealed that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so broader than all of the lights and the trees and the gift exchanges and the great food and family and friends, broader than all of that, there is a spiritual masterpiece that's being painted by Jesus coming as an infant. It's that Jesus came to take away my sins. Jesus came to take away your sins. That Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil and to inaugurate his kingdom. And he asks us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And when we do, he says, all of these things, the things that we worry about, stress about, all of these things will be added unto us when we seek him first. But the angel told Joseph here in Matthew chapter 1, he says he will save his people from his sins. His people means that Jesus was very Jewish. So primarily it was a promise to an ethnic people group that the Jews were going to be the nation that was intended to communicate salvation to all the earth. God wanted Israel to be a missionary nation. And so it says he will save his people from his sins, meaning that Jesus was very Jewish. And so we have to remember here at Christmas is that we're outsiders. We are beneficiaries. We have been graced because of the ministry of Jesus to his people and through his people to us. You might remember that Jesus said to a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 22, she's at a well and they're having this extended conversation. And Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And so it's important for us at Christmas not to appropriate Christmas as some kind of Western holiday or some type of Western thematic special time of year. It's important for us to understand that we're stepping in as outsiders because most of us in this room are not Jewish in ancestry. We would be considered Gentiles in Scripture. We're outsiders. We've been graced. We've been blessed. We've essentially been grafted in by faith in Christ Jesus. This Jewish-Gentile tension, this ethnic tension, would create a rift in the early church because many thought that Jesus, the Messiah, was only for the salvation of the Jews, that Jesus came to establish Israel as the capital nation of the world, that Jesus has come as the Messiah to rule from Jerusalem, and that if you wanted to get right with God, you had to become a Jew. That you had to worship God as a Jew. You had to get circumcised. You had to avoid certain types of meat. You had to practice a diet. You had to practice religious traditions. And so we see as the gospel is being written and as letters are being sent to the early church that we have as the New Testament, you see this tension of Christmas, that Jesus was a Jewish Messiah, but people didn't know how to respond to just a Jewish Messiah. But all along, Jesus was intended to be for all people. That God sent his Son, and when it says God with us, it didn't just mean the Jews, it meant all people everywhere who would profess faith in Christ Jesus, who would turn from their sins and invite Jesus into their life in repentance. And Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, another very familiar part of the Christmas story, we find this all people theme here. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Savior would be for all peoples, all nations. The message of Christmas at the very beginning was intended to communicate to the Jews that salvation was for the Jews, but salvation also came through the Jews, through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 29, Joseph and Mary bring Jesus into the temple, and they're intending to dedicate him according to scriptural teaching. And when they come into the temple, there's an old man named Simeon there. And the record that scripture tells us about Simeon is that God had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he got to see the Messiah. And Joseph and Mary come in with their baby named Jesus, and Simeon walks up, and in verse 29 through 32, this is the proclamation that Simeon makes over Jesus, who he knew to be his Messiah. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And so Simeon reminded them, and his voice echoes through the century to remind us that we are here celebrating Christmas tonight because a very Jewish Messiah was sent to a people by a very loving God. That God became one of us. And God came down in human form so that he might take our sins away. He might destroy the works of the devil so that we might be invited into his kingdom that is a kingdom full of faith and hope and peace and love and forgiveness. And so as we prepare to celebrate tomorrow the birth of Christ in our homes, I want you to remember one simple truth as you do. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for you. He was named Emmanuel for a reason. God with us. God with you. Jesus loves you. He came for you. He died for you. He calls to you. He invites you into a daily intimate. Nothing more from you other than your affection for him. Your submission to his lordship. He wants you to understand that he has good things planned for you. And he wants you also to understand that when you encounter bad things, because we live in a broken world, in a sin-scarred world, that he will be with you in those moments too. And there's perhaps no greater proof of the power of God than when you see a Christian enduring trial and hardship and suffering and sometimes even death in a gracious, reflective way, dependent upon Jesus in hard times. Remember this Christmas, that Jesus is for you. It matters not what you've done. It doesn't matter what you will do. It matters what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. For you or any in your families, your friendship circles, and work who may feel like you have removed yourself from God's grace, how you've done too much or gone too far, you've rejected him too long, it's never too late to turn and look Jesus in the face, because what you'll see there is not disappointment, not disgust, but love and forgiveness and an invitation to repent, to step into an intimate, daily love relationship with Jesus. That's why we make such a big deal about Christmas, because it is a big deal. God came down and he takes away our sin, and he doesn't want us to hold on to it. He wants us to confess our sin to him and step into a love relationship with him that will last for eternity. What he wants from you this Christmas is to receive this gift of his son by faith. He wants for you this Christmas to trust him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so tonight it's important in Christ to remember that he is Emmanuel, that God is with us. Let me pray, and as I pray, our worship team will come, and they're going to move us into the next element of our worship this evening. Father, we love you so very much, and we thank you that because of Jesus, we can celebrate Christmas in a more inspired and encouraged and informed way. Lord, that Christmas is not just for us having a holiday and getting some days off of work or time out of school, but Christmas for us is so meaningful. It's literally pregnant with the impossible. And so, Father, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you for taking away our sins, Lord. Thank you for defeating the works of Satan. And Lord, especially thank you for coming to be with us and being for us. Lord, we love you, exalt you, and we are in wonder at you this Christmas. In Jesus' name.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.